Governor Bill Walker meets in person with the Chilkoot Indian Association in Haines to hear about their lands into trust concerns. And seven cruise lines face penalties for polluting air while sailing Alaska waters. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Alaska Governor Bill Walker visited Haines Thursday to talk with the Chilkoot Indian Association about lands into trust issues. It was the last stop in Walker's trip around Alaska, visiting the four tribes and one individual who are plaintiffs in a decade-old lawsuit over the right of Alaska tribes to put lands into trust. Walker is facing a deadline in a few weeks to decide on whether to abide by a court ruling that would allow Alaska tribes to put their lands in federal trust. Here's some background. In 2006, four tribes and one Native individual sued the Department of Interior over regulations that prohibited Alaska tribes from applying to put their lands into federal trust, something tribes in the lower 48 can do. In 2013, a U.S. District Court agreed with the plaintiffs, saying the practice discriminates against Alaskan tribes. The Department of Interior agreed with that decision in 2014, but the state of Alaska, under the Parnell administration, did not. The state filed an appeal to the decision. Here's Governor Walker.
I'm faced with a decision coming up on the 24th of this month of whether to proceed with that matter or not. I inherited that piece of litigation. And so I'm trying to decide what's the most appropriate path forward.
In his tenure so far, Walker has put off deciding whether to continue the appeal. If he were to drop it, Alaska tribes would soon be able to apply to put their private lands into trust status. Walker asked for a 6-month delay in the case and then a 30-day extension. That is up on August 24th. Walker says he doesn't think he's likely to get more time.
In all week, we've been around the state visiting with different tribes that are involved in that on that issue, and we're doing that largely, almost predominantly, for one reason: is to listen and to hear and have a consultation, have a discussion, and hear why is that important to them.
It's so important. I can't even describe how important it is.
That's Chilkoot Indian Association Tribal Administrator Harriet Brulette.
It weighs really heavy. It weighs very heavy on my heart. This is the land of my people, you know, and we're struggling to retain it. We're struggling to hold on to a very, very small part of, you know, what was ours, what was once ours, you know, the places that we went to subsistence hunt and gather and fish.
Brulette says for the Chilkoot tribe, the ability to put lands into trust is about protecting the land they have left. She says that encompasses the land where their tribal office is located and the Chilkoot Estates subdivision. The tribe is not necessarily going to put that land into trust, but Brulette says they want the option because it's their right. She says much land has been taken from the tribe over the years.
At one time, this entire valley down to Excursion Inlet and further belonged to the Chilkoot people. And as European explorers begin to discover our area, you know, they begin to take possession of the land.
Walker wouldn't say if he's leaning one way or the other on whether he might drop the state's appeal, but he says conversations with people like Brulette will factor into his choice.
For me, it's a matter of gathering information, and most importantly is to listen to what people have to say. And we've heard some very heartfelt statements about their past, their generation, where they want to go, where they're concerned about their children, their grandchildren. You can't replace that with any amount of reading you do of a legal brief. So
Walker says one concern he has about allowing Native tribes to put land into trust is giving more power to the federal government.
I like decisions made as close to home as possible, decisions being made in Washington, D.C. about land use in Alaska. Right now, 62% of our land is in federal control, so adding to that, I'm concerned about that, quite honestly.
For Brulette, it's about giving power to Native tribes. She doesn't want things like this to continue happening.
My father, his family is from Yindestucky, which is at 4 Mile, where the airport is now. He used to fish at 4 Mile and was slowly pushed out by newcomers. Then he started fishing at 7 Mile and was kind of pushed out of there, and was pushed out of a spot that he fished at 8 Mile. And that's just an example of one person. And that, you think about all of the native families in this community who are trying to live a traditional lifestyle, live our lifestyle. It's nearly impossible now.
Brulette says she couldn't tell what choice Walker would end up making, but the fact that he sat down and talked with the council impressed her. She says it shows that Walker is trying to understand what the issue means to the tribes who have fought for the right to put lands into trust for decades. Walker also visited Akiachak, Tulisak, Chalkitsik, and Barrow to talk with tribes about lands into trust concerns. 7 major cruise lines face penalties for polluting the air while sailing Alaska waters, Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The State Department of Environmental Conservation issued 18 notices of violation involving 48 instances of excessive air emissions since 2010. Environmental Program Specialist Jason Old says they were measured in Ketchikan, Juneau, Haines, Skagway, and Anchorage. Others were spotted while sailing between ports. He says government or contract monitors measured the density of ship smoke.
The confusing way to say it might be that it's the obfuscation of light. And the kind of layman's explanation is that we look at the contrasting background and how much of that is obscured by the plume.
Details of the notices are not yet public because the alleged violations and penalties are being negotiated with cruise lines. Old says they could be resolved within 6 months, though it could take longer. He says the standard penalty is about $37,000 per incident. Old says violations were issued to almost all of the major cruise lines serving Alaska.
Carnival, Holland America, Princess, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, Celebrity, and then one to Silver Seas.
All the ships are equipped with opacity monitors that actually measure the opacity as the smoke comes out of the stack.
John Binkley heads up Alaska's chapter of the Cruise Lines International Association. He says the ships self-report when their monitors detect excessive emissions, but sometimes that equipment comes up with different measurements than human observers. A number of cruise lines have installed or are in the process of installing stronger pollution control equipment called scrubbers. They mostly target sulfur emissions, but also remove particulates that reduce opacity. In addition to cruise ships, the ferry Columbia was found in violation while it was in Auk Bay, home to Juneau's ferry terminal. Alaska Marine Highway spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says that happened 2 winters ago after new engines were installed.
The department worked with DEC, tested the quality of the air coming out of the exhaust stacks, and sure enough, it wasn't in compliance.
Further adjustments were made, and the Columbia met emission standards. Old says his department took no further action. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
A special election scheduled in August for Skagway residents to vote on the municipality's tidelands lease has been rescheduled. The Skagway Borough Assembly voted last week to repeal the resolution scheduling the August 25th special election. The decision moves the lease question to the regular municipal election on October 6th. The vote will determine the future of the 35-year contract between the municipality and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. We'll have a more detailed story on last week's Skagway Borough Assembly meeting tomorrow morning. Haines residents who have questions or concerns for their state representative will have the chance to talk to him in person this week. Representative Sam Keto III will be in Haines Tuesday and Wednesday to attend a borough assembly meeting and talk with constituents. Legislative aide Bianca Carpinetti says Keto will have lunch at the Senior Center Tuesday, talk with the Chilkoot Indian Association, and meet with the borough manager and mayor. He will attend the Haines Borough Assembly meeting at 6:30 Tuesday evening. Members of the public who want to meet with Keto will have a couple opportunities. One Tuesday at Mountain Market from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. and another Wednesday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. at the Bamboo Room. Carpinetti says Keto has time Tuesday afternoon for private meetings with constituents. Those who want to set up a meeting can call 465-4766. Keto is a Democrat in the Alaska House representing Juneau, Haines, Skagway, Kluckwan, Gustavus, and Excursion Inlet. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.